The Old Testament lesson comes from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord not among us?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. So he came to a town of Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have a testimony for you, my personal testimony. Of course, you just sang it with me, so I don't know if mine is the only one that's true. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. I would like to steal that stanza just for myself. You can have it later. Of course, this testimony that we can sing together with Paul, who wrote those words. We are the chiefs of sinners, each of us. We are each sinners. And our testimony is that as bad as we are, Jesus shed his blood for me. He died that I might live on high, and he lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, hey, that sounds familiar, at Christ the vine. I've heard that before. I am his, and he is mine. That's the testimony of all Christians. What a wonderful gift it is to know that God knows us. He knows how sinful we are, and yet he still loves us to have given his life for us. That testimony is the same testimony that has been shared for hundreds of years. It's the testimony that we hear about in our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading from John chapter 4 in the lectionary, that's how we get our readings each week. You know, we get to look at the appointed readings and decide if we want to use them. But those appointed readings help us walk through the church year and make sure we cover more of Scripture. And today, the Scripture reading from John 4 was either a shorter one or a longer one that included today's verses. And I decided, well, I'll give a longer reading today and then maybe a shorter sermon. I said that joke earlier, to which someone said, yeah, right. So, I love getting this whole story in its entirety. Perhaps you're well aware of this one, right? Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. He asks for water, and she says, you don't have anything to draw from, to draw the water. It's deep. How are you going to get water? Because when he says, I've got better water to offer you. She's shocked even that he's talking to her in the first place. I love that John gives us context here. He says, well, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. In case you're reading this and you've never heard this before, right? We get the context that this is a whole weird situation. Jesus has come out of the desert. He's thirsty. And here comes a woman from a different culture he's not normally known to be talking with. He asks her for water, and she's shocked. Who is this person talking to me, and this Jewish person talking to me? And then he offers her something that's different, something called living water. And she's very confused about this. And she says something interesting in 11 and 12 of chapter 4. "Sir, you've nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" This is the first testimony we get to hear today. She's giving the testimony that Jacob is the father of the Samaritan people in the area. You know, you Jewish people, you say you have the Holy Land and everything else is yours, but, you know, we've got Jacob as our father, so at least we've got a pretty important name. I hope you've heard that name before. It's an important one, too. "So are you really better than Jacob? He gave us this well. Why would your water be any better than his?" That doesn't make any sense. So in her testimony, Jesus does say, well, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A testimony about something that is to come. This is true. It's going to be a thing. You should get in on the ground floor. The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come draw water." She's already intrigued. That sounds pretty special, but she's intrigued about this miraculous no more thirst water. The first Gatorade, I suppose. And then Jesus says, well, you're interested in this water I have to give. Go and get your husband. You're interested in the water I have to give, are you? Let's talk about your sin. Well, I have no husband. Well, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with is not one of them. You're interested in the water I have to give. Let's point out the fact that you are a sinner who is perhaps not just a worthy person to go and just say, I want what I want. You know, give me this special water. And she gets out of a sticky situation. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. That's very... You know what's going on here. And she says, well, you know, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. It's like, well, I'm going to try to scoot it under the rug a little bit. Well, let's talk about where we get to worship. We get to worship here. We've been worshiping here for hundreds of years. We know what's right. We know how to do things. And then Jesus starts opening her mind a little bit, and he says, the hour is going to come where the location won't matter. It's all about worshiping in spirit and in truth. You have this hill to worship on. You believe you might be doing things well enough. Spirit and truth, though, and the truth of what's inside of you, that is where worship is going to happen. God wants that. He wants those worshipers. The Father is seeking such people to worship him. The ones who are not worried about just the location. The ones who are not worried about just, well, who gets Jacob's well and who gets Jerusalem or anything else like that. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. She's like, okay, I'll follow you on this. I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. Like, okay, you know, kind of opening the door. The Messiah is going to want to, the Christ, he'll tell us all of these things, all of the right and true things. I who speak to you am he, Jesus says. Starting from her testimony of, we've got Jacob's well, we've got the land where Jacob worshipped, we worship here, we're doing all right. We don't need your Jewish traditions. He gets her to the point of being interested and intrigued in something far greater even. She's like, well, I have heard that something better is coming. And Jesus says, I am he. A testimony about who he is, directly from his mouth. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Anyone else who would say otherwise, Anyone else who'd say, oh, Jesus didn't say that? He said it. It's truth. Then we get this nice little aside. It's not really a part of the direct part of the story, but it's a nice little image of the disciples. Typically, the disciples, when we mention them, it's because they've stuck their foot in their mouth saying something funny, especially Peter, poor Peter. They come up and they see Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, and they're like, well, we're not going to say anything this time. We're just going to stand there and watch. He must be up to something. I don't know. Stand back a little bit. Let's see. And as they see this, the woman leaves, and she goes back into the town. You may know a little bit of this story here, a little more context for you. She came out at the time of day when no one else would be out getting water because she is indeed known by the people in her community as someone who's not been a good law follower. She's out there not drawing water at the same time with other people. She's a bit of an outcast. But what does she do? She goes into the town and starts talking to people. She gives her testimony. She says, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She gives her testimony and says, I don't know how he did it, but he knows who I am. You imagine if she told this story later, he knows who I am and he still offered me this living water. This testimony, you would imagine, would grow over time if she had more opportunity to tell it. Telling people the day that she met Jesus, the day where she was told her sin that she would try to keep as private as possible. This outsider came in and knew who she was and said, I have living water to give you. Even though she was from a different social setting, not a Jewish person, even though she was someone who was outcast in her own community, even though she had her very sin in front of her, can this be the Christ? And yet he wants me to be with him? From that testimony, we get to see an amazing fallout. We see this happen in all sorts of walks of life. You see it all the time. You experience it. Sometimes you're a part of it. Frequently, in fact. Even more so nowadays, I suppose. I'll get there in a moment. For instance, I love Mexican food. I'm just going to share this in the future, for your knowledge. Do with it as you please. I love Mexican food. And I have favorite Mexican restaurants. If you have a favorite Mexican restaurant in town, please let me know. I will take your testimony into account. I will tell you my favorite Mexican restaurant is one called Casa Sanchez. It's in Ontario, California. It just, luckily for me, was a block and a half away from my high school. I spent a lot of time there. Great food. That, I only can say, because one of my friends gave me their testimony. Oh, you like real Mexican food? You should go to Casa Sanchez. It's really good. It's actually real stuff. Like, oh, okay, I'll go try it. I listened to his testimony, and I went and said, oh, I like it a lot. And now I can tell all of you, if you're in Ontario, California, Casa Sanchez, good Mexican. Now, a lot easier than going to my high school hometown. This happens when I order things online. I don't know, there's 15 options. Which one do I want? Let me look at the testimonies. Oh, this one has 2 stars. Not great. Oh, this one's got 4.5 stars. Well, let me read some of these testimonies. Oh, the people who liked it said this. The people who didn't like this, oh, that's pretty scary. Next object. And then sure enough, at some point we buy the thing. We get the thing. We love the thing. We tell our friends, hey, look at the thing we have. It's great. If you need this thing, this one works. Someone else gave their testimony. I liked the thing. I can tell other people, this is a great thing. It becomes my testimony. Someone's testimony becomes someone else's testimony, and it keeps spreading, and it keeps growing, and more people hear the good news about that thing that you want to share. We see this same truth happen in this story. The reason I brought up the longer reading is I wanted to make sure we get to see this part. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Some of them might be going for a bit of a parlor trick at first. Oh, cool, he can tell us what we've done? He can read people's minds? That's exciting. He's a really cool mentalist. They went because she was excited about this guy. Could he be the Christ? He told me all that I ever did. He knows stuff. He could be the one who tells us the things that we need to know. Many Samaritans came to him. And then verse 41, many more believed because of his word. Just like when someone gives us a testimony and we get to go try out the thing that they testified about, as soon as we realize we like it, we tell other people, hey, this is a real good thing. People were just intrigued by this woman who said, could this be the Christ? They go and spend time with him. And the word of God, which is living and active, cuts to their hearts as well. And they believe in him too. She tells them, let me tell you about this Jesus guy who could be the Christ. And when people are confronted with his word, when they get to hear him, they are changed. And her testimony becomes theirs. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Your testimony of Christ, what you would say about what he's done for you, you may think is not as big or exciting as other people's testimonies. I have a pretty boring one. I was baptized as a baby. I was mostly in church growing up. I said I was never going to be a pastor, and look where that got me. There's my testimony. The short version of it. Cliff Notes. People have some amazing testimonies of Christ working in their hearts and their lives and changing them in dramatic ways. And those are fantastic. Those are great. God be praised. But any testimony, as big or as small, that tells other people, this is what Jesus has done for me. Let's come and hear about this. Go and take a look. And pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to his word, your testimony, no matter big or small, will become more people's testimonies. People who get to experience Jesus, people who get to hear his word, they'll be changed by it. I would wish that every person who ever heard God's word would become a Christian immediately. That would be the best. In which case, we should have 1 million broadcast stations. It'd be great. We know that that's not true, but we do know that the word of God will take root and it will grow in different ways. We can keep watering it, keep reminding people about how good God is to us, and we can trust that other people will do the same. I spent a lot of time in children's ministry and youth ministry. I did a lot of children's messages. I never got to see, you know, all the fruits that would come from telling younger people about God and seeing where that would go in their lives. Many of you have similar experiences, not necessarily only with children. You might just tell us one person in passing at the airport that you're a Christian. And who knows where that'll go? Who knows what'll happen in their hearts? But we know that when people are confronted with God's word, when they're confronted with the fact that we are indeed sinners in need of a Savior, and that in fact there is one who has already saved people from sin, we can tell that and see what happens. Wait and see what God does. You're not in charge of changing a person's heart. You don't need the weight of converting someone on your shoulders. That part is not up to you. For your friend or your family member, the person who's walked away from Christ, or the one who's never been in the church before, we love them and we care for them and we give them our testimony. And we hope that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart. We pray for it. We say, God, bring this person to know who you are and who Jesus is. but that's as far as your job has to go. You do not need to worry about being the one to change them. Just give your testimony. Pray for them and tell them, let me tell you about a guy who knows everything about me. Let me tell you about someone who sees the worst parts of me, and he still gives me living water. He still gives me his blood on the cross that I would be saved. So that God would not see my sin and be angry with me, but to see me as someone who's been redeemed by Jesus, bought by his sacrifice. May your testimony continue to become the testimony of more people throughout the earth. And may God send them back to you to tell you, we believe not just because of your testimony, but because we've heard his word and we know what he's done for us. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.